Welcome to this week's edition of Focus Fridays here on WKLM. Focus Fridays is being brought to you by Hobbrins Insurance, Home Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. I am Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM, and with me today is Holmes County Magistrate Julie Dreyer. Good morning, Julie. Thanks for coming in for our Focus Fridays today.
Well, good morning, Melissa. Thank you for having me.
And so you are the magistrate for Judge Lee, correct?
That's correct.
And I'm sure that myself, along with many of the listeners, aren't really sure what a magistrate's job description is. What's just a quick summary of what a magistrate does in the court system?
Cool. Well, a magistrate is a lot like a judge, but you get in the position in a little different way. So judges in Ohio are elected. So, you know, you go to a vote and you're voting for a judge if that's on the ballot that year. Judges can hire magistrates. So magistrates are not elected positions. It's an appointed position where a judge basically hires a magistrate just like they would any other employee. A magistrate in Ohio has to be admitted to the practice of law in Ohio, I believe, for at least a four-year period before you could be eligible for the position. But other than that, it's very similar to a judge where you get to hear cases, sit on the bench, wear the robe, read documents that parties file, and make decisions in cases. One difference between a magistrate and a judge, though, is if there's a final order out of a case. Typically, those are the types of cases I hear where we would make a final order of, say, custody or maybe delinquency. A judge has to approve that or adopt that as an order of court to make it effective. So there's some final things they got to basically stamp to make it official.
Now, how long have you been in a magistrate position?
So I began in a magistrate position in Coshocton County in 2021, so about 4 years now, but I've been practicing law or been admitted as an attorney to practice law in Ohio for much longer than that.
We don't need full numbers, you know. You're young and you're fresh, but you have experience all at the same time.
Yes, I did the math recently, and I want to correct my, you know, check, double check it, because I'm like, how's it been 18 years? But I
went to law school, not math school.
Yes. 18 years sounds too long, but I guess that's accurate.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yes, it does.
You started in Coshocton. What brought you to Holmes County to magistrate?
So I had prior experience working in Holmes County in the prosecutor's office, so familiar with the juvenile court. Working in the juvenile court, which is the court of Judge Lee's jurisdiction. So I was familiar with the court. I knew it's convenient to where I conduct a lot of my daily living activities. So I reached out to the court to see if you know, they would like a magistrate. And anyway, it just sort of worked itself out where the transition made sense. And it's been a great opportunity.
Because you can only be a magistrate in one. You can't do both.
You could actually do both. Okay. I mean, there's different ways you can do everything and get creative. So you could, in Coshocton County, I started out as a part-time magistrate there. And also in Holmes County as well as a part-time. So they did overlap a little. When I transitioned, I wanted to make sure to wrap up everything that needed wrapped up in Coshocton. But there is an option to have a part-time magistrate or a full-time magistrate. So I'm currently in a full-time magistrate role in Holmes County. So we transitioned to that as well. So yeah, there's different versions of what you can do with it.
But if it's closer, not having to drive all the way to Coshocton.
Yeah. And Coshocton County is great. It just was just a little...
A drive.
It just wasn't as conveniently located to my daily life, so...
Well, we will chat more here about, you know, what goes into your activities in the magistrate's office, and we'll find out more about how it works. This is Julie Dreyer, the magistrate for Judge Lee in the Holmes County Courts. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. I'm back here with Magistrate Julie Dreyer from the Holmes County Courts, and I am Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays. And we got a little bit of a beginning of how, Julie, you got into this. Now, as a magistrate, you said you are full time. What kind of goes into your day for what you do at the courts?
Sure. My day looks a lot like Judge Lee's day, probably. We just sort of, I guess, take turns in the things we're handling there. But so what we do at the Juvenile and Probate Court, we have a lot of hearings in a variety of matters. So the juvenile court handles private custody cases, parenting time cases, child support cases, mainly of parents who weren't married when they had their children. So those children would fall under our court's jurisdiction. We also hear delinquency cases, unruly cases. So those are the types of cases where a juvenile, if they've gotten maybe in trouble for something and the law enforcement was involved, or maybe even the schools, that would be maybe your truancy case. We hear complaints and we decide how to handle those. We also have juvenile traffic cases that we deal with. And then, of course, on the probate side, you have estates and guardianships. So, and children's services cases as well under the juvenile court subject matter. So Judge Lee and I may have hearings where we have to address certain issues in the cases. Maybe it's an initial hearing. We just got a complaint. We need to make sure someone has an attorney or know they have the right to have an attorney. So we're on the bench. We're educating the parties regarding the matter and seeing what the next steps are. We may have additional hearings where we have to have findings that we make in those cases. You know, is who should have custody, or, you know, and that's all what's in the best interest of the child, obviously. Or did the child do what the complaint said they did? So we have those types of hearings. We have review hearings. Really, we're just trying to help people through that process, make good decisions. After those hearings, we have to write orders or decisions, make sure we've addressed all the open issues in the case and get paperwork out to people. If we don't have hearings, we might just be looking at filings that come in from different parties and deciding how to handle those. We have a lot of different programs at the juvenile court, so we may not actually hear a complaint that comes in on a child that is alleged to be delinquent, unruly. That might go to our diversion department. So we're also deciding with our diversion department, what kind of special programming can we offer the community to help kids, keep them out of trouble, and do the right thing for young people who may not really need serious sanctions and that might not be appropriate. You know, how can we help them and link them to services?
Because just like anything else, prevention is the best way to help to fix anything that...
Yes.
The over excessive numbers of people coming in or whatever, you preventing it is the best way to fix
it. Yes. We're trying to be proactive in the community. There's a big push for that right now with probation reform throughout the country, actually. Typically, kids who may get court involved or have a complaint filed against them, they tend to grow out of those behaviors. I think we can all acknowledge maybe when we were younger, we did a few things we're not still doing today.
Or we're rebellious.
That we worked through those things and we didn't necessarily need to be in detention because of, you know, that kind of behavior. Or maybe we just needed a little help, or we just needed to learn from that experience. So yes, we're really being proactive right now in the community. We're working with our local schools, really working with West Holmes High School and the administration out there to see how we can get involved early when we see kids struggling before they get to the point of being court involved.
And how does it work out that you decide who gets to hear which cases between you and Judge Lee?
Sure. So Judge Lee is mainly handling in juvenile court the children's services cases. So that's a big part of the court's docket. And so he's really focused on those. He fills in as needed on the other cases. And then he's been primarily handling the probate court matters. He's assigned to me the delinquency, unruly, child support, private custody, and juvenile traffic cases. So that's been a big part of my work at the court, is handling those cases.
Now, is that something that he's kind of made that decision, or is he kind of guided towards, okay, if you have a magistrate, they handle this, or sure. How is...
No, the judge has a lot of discretion in what matters they assign to magistrates. So I think typically you may see different courts, those judges handling the children's services cases, because they do tend to make up a big part of the juvenile court's docket, meaning they just have a lot more of those cases than other types of cases. And it's a really good way to for the judge to stay involved in different providers in the community, children's services, and work together to make sure we're protecting, you know, the county's youth as, and working with families as we should. So, you know, other bigger counties may have more magistrates assigned to those really specific types of matters. But here as a smaller county, I'm able to cover a variety of matters, and it keeps things interesting.
Well, it's definitely kind of a teamwork kind of position. Mm-hmm. It sounds like even though you're doing things on your own, you still got to talk and communicate because it may end up overlapping at some point.
Yeah. And we want to make sure we have the same goals for the core and how we're helping the community. And I think we're on the same page with that. You know, we really want to understand where youth and their families are and help them navigate through challenges of life and get to a better spot.
Well, we are really kind of opening the book here on what happens in the juvenile and probate court. That is Magistrate Julie Dreyer. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays, and we'll be back for more on WKLM. Back here on WKLM with Magistrate Julie Dreyer, I am Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays. And Julie, when we were talking in the last segment, you mentioned, we were talking a little about prevention. Your guys' department in the juvenile and probate court, you guys have a lot of collaborations and ways to help folks and work together with other different departments, it sounds like.
Yes, we want to be a great resource to the community, and we don't always need to be waiting to get involved until something really bad's happened. So what we want to do is reach out, get kids involved in different services or programs, and keep those kids busy and be helpful. So one of the things that the court recently started is our GRIT program, which is a super awesome program where we're providing in collaboration with a local CrossFit company out here, a CrossFit program for juveniles, youth to participate in. You don't have to be in any kind of trouble. It's just something to do, okay, to keep kids busy, tire them out, and give them a nice exercise program. So we encourage folks to reach out to the court, Brody Williams, actually, to get more information on that GRIT program. Another thing we're doing is our Anchor Mentoring Program. So this is sort of a rebrand of what was the Connections Mentoring Program. Well, we're linking kids in the community with folks in the community who want to be mentors, want to help youth who maybe don't have, you know, an adult in their life that's a great role model, or perhaps they're looking for someone to provide some specific guidance in an area to someone, you know, maybe in their career of choice, or just an extra person to hang out with and be a good example in their lives, or just someone to listen. So we have that Anchor Mentoring Program. We're looking for volunteers for that. So please reach out to Rachel Cornell at the court if anyone's interested in doing that. We also get involved with the schools, particularly West Holmes. We've been working well with and deciding, you know, how can we link kids to services. And as our community partners has been pretty great with trying to evaluate, you know, how can we really hit all the things people need, you know, families need. Help with employment. Is that affecting kids at school if their parents are unemployed? Or do we need counseling for the family? So we're working closely with Anna Zhao. We're happy to point people in the right direction if they need help. But Anna Zhao is a great resource in the community to provide services. So yeah, we're constantly looking to see how can we work with different programs in the community and get kids involved, keep them busy, and give them something positive to do.
Sometimes people think that just because the court's involved that it has to be for kids who are already in trouble. But like we've mentioned, this is preventative. Or just for someone who might be missing, that people all don't always have the right adults in their life, and mm-hmm. they may not be getting in trouble, but they can utilize this program to get those mentors. So it's great that you guys are not just focusing on when things go bad, but also that positive end. It's good to see the courts doing that.
Yeah, we really don't like seeing anyone in trouble. I'd rather put my effort into seeing kids excel in the community and be a great resource to our community rather than having to deal with consequences later. So yeah, we encourage everyone to be a part of these programs or step up and help out, reach out. We'd love to have you in this mentoring program with us.
And with that, we'll We'll go ahead and take a quick little break here, and we'll have more with what happens in the probate and juvenile court offices with Magistrate Julie Dreyer for Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick on WKLM. Melissa Patrick with Focus Fridays on WKLM, back here with Holmes County Magistrate Julie Dreyer for the probate and juvenile court. And you mentioned some of the different types of cases that you guys handle, and one of them was juvenile traffic. So what is the types of things you see in those cases?
Okay. Yes. So for our youngsters out there on the road, you know, we're talking about the 16-year-olds to the 18-year-olds typically who are licensed to drive, and they would still fall under the jurisdiction of the juvenile court. Every month, once a month, we have traffic court for our friends who may get a traffic citation that month. If they've gotten some traffic situation in Holmes County, that ticket will be filed in the Holmes County Juvenile Court. Sometimes if they've been cited in other counties but they live in Holmes County, the other county will transfer their case to our court to handle, because typically they believe that it's going to be more convenient for the youth and also make more sense for the county where that kid lives to handle their case. So every month we have a traffic court, and that's where we handle the traffic cases that come in that month. That could be for a speed, a traffic accident where the child was cited for maybe failure to control or not maintaining an ensured clear distance ahead, not yielding appropriately when driving, maybe using their cell phone while they're driving, which is a big no-no right now. So we hear a bunch of different traffic matters. The kids come in a group. We give them information regarding their rights and the potential consequences, how they can choose to plea in those cases, give them an explanation of what might happen. And then one by one, they get to come in the courtroom with their mom or dad, and we talk about the traffic ticket. We let them know that they can have an attorney with them if they'd like. A lot of kids choose not to do that, and I think adults as well, but that's an option for them. We talk about what they've been cited with and what the potential consequences are. So for consequences, youth are typically looking at court costs and fines. And fines, luckily for kids, aren't as high as they would be for an adult, which makes sense, right? Because usually kids don't have a lot.
It's not the kids paying it, it's the parents. Yeah.
Yes. And we talk about whether or not their driver's license should be suspended. We like to hear from the parents on that. You know, how do you feel about your kid driving? You know, you're the one that, it's your car usually, and you're the one that lives with them. You know better than we do. But sometimes kids are looking at mandatory license suspensions if they meet certain criteria. And sometimes it's just up to us to decide. So we appreciate that people make mistakes, and we've all maybe had a little accident here or there, as long as, you know, it's handled appropriately and kids learn from these things. We want to work with them and be fair to the situation.
So with the passing of the cell phone law and stuff, have you guys seen a decrease in those types of cases with the juveniles? I know we've talked about with Lieutenant Perrin how they're seeing it on the full spectrum in the juvenile end. Is that something that you guys are seeing a positive change, that there's less of that distracted driving happening, or are we needing to do a little bit more education with these youngsters?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, you still see distracted driving, and what we've seen more in the traffic court this year are kids being cited for specifically violating that code section for using a mobile device while driving. They may not have gotten in an accident or violated any other law at that point, but if an officer sees them using their cell phone while they're driving, that's a problem. So in juvenile court, those kids are looking at bigger fines for those types of offenses and also some mandatory license suspensions. So we really try and emphasize, don't use your phone while you're driving. Put that somewhere where you're not going to be tempted. It's not worth it. And
so our youth are so connected with their phones.
Oh yeah. And you know, we get that, but they're also new drivers who need
to pay attention.
Who need to pay attention. They need to minimize distractions for sure. They got to be focused. We also have a virtual driving program that the court offers called Ready Assess. We typically ask all our youth to do that. And it looks like a, you know, driving video game, basically, that kids might be familiar with. They have a steering wheel and pedals connected to the computer, and the program puts them on like a race or a driving situation where they're driving a vehicle on the road and they have certain obstacles that they might come into while they're driving and they have to react to those. So it gives them more feedback on safe driving. The program will email them the results and send them videos based on how they performed. You know, you might want to think about doing this when you're driving. And so it's another thing that we provide to the kids to help them be safer drivers on the road.
It's starting them young is so important mm-hmm. because those are skills they take with them into their adulthood. And where those fines do get back up there on things, and you don't get mom and dad paying for things and handling stuff, you got to do it all on your own. So it's part of that prevention we talked about in the prior segments. But that's cool that you have that yeah. that driving. That's something they can actually relate with.
Right. Yes. That's right up their alley, right? Kids are also, they get points on their licenses just like adults do. So every time they have a speeding offense, if it's the lower level type speed, you know, that's 2 points on your license. The kids will still be subject to an automatic 12-point license suspension by the BMV. If you get 12 points on your license within 2 year time, you know, that's its own license suspension there. So the kids have to understand that there are real consequences just like adults to their driving. And of course, we want them to not injure themselves or others. So we just want everyone to be safe. One thing we have in this community, which is understandable, is we see, you know, a lot of maybe ATV related offenses where kids or unlicensed drivers who are younger think it's that they are able to drive ATVs on the roads. And, you know, that's a no. You got to be licensed. It has to meet the criteria for being on the roadway, registered, etc. So that's something I know we've chatted with law enforcement. We'd like people to be more aware of that in the community.
The kids are learning their driving habits now. And are you seeing the governor's really pushing on these young driving habits too? Mm-hmm. Are there things that maybe you guys see as you're in traffic court that maybe the parents need to focus more on, or the driver's education need to focus on, because there's stuff that are repeatedly coming into traffic court for these juveniles?
Sure. You know, it's really helpful for a parent to be a good example with respect to driving, good example to their teenager. I think you might see a kid in there more for speed if their parents are also speeders. So it does make a difference at what example you set. Now, you know, kids can make mistakes and maybe their parents are excellent drivers and a kid might still have a lead foot one day. But I do emphasize being a good example. I think we would have seen a few less kids if maybe mom or dad were a little more strict in their driving. But I like, you know, I like to hear parents say, I'm monitoring my kid on Life 360. It's good for parents to be on top of that and use that technology to make sure, you know, your kid's not going 90 down 39. So that's helpful. But I think kids need to know, yes, you got to leave your cell phone out while you're driving. You know, you look at your phone for music or directions, and unfortunately that might be when you're rear-end the person in front of you. We've seen that happen. And again, just knowing you can't be operating motorcycles, mopeds, ATVs on the roadways if you don't have your driver's license.
That driver's license is a really important little card there. Yes. So
there's a reason why we all had to go through that process, you know.
Exactly. Well, we'll talk more about some court issues and things with you here in the future segments. That's Julie Dreyer, the Holmes County Juvenile and Probate Magistrate. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays. We are back here on WKLM with Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick, and I am with Magistrate Julie Dreyer, who's a magistrate for the Probate and Juvenile Court. And in our last segment, Julie, we were talking a lot about traffic court, and there is a lot that goes into that. But you had mentioned earlier that you see a lot of other different cases, and one of the things dealing with juveniles, it's got to be hard as the magistrate to make sure that the juveniles especially aren't afraid to talk to you and tell you what you need to know.
Yeah, we want everyone to know that the court, and I know this is something that Judge Lee passes on to staff, that we really want to help people through their hard times. And we know that when folks are coming to court for family-related matters, it's not a walk in the park. So our staff is very kind and helpful. You can call and ask questions. And as long as you're not asking for legal advice, we provide legal information, of course, and just basic information you need to know when you need to be at court or what forms we have available. We're trying to make things as easy as possible for people. When we have hearings, typically if we can, we want them to be informal. We want to have a discussion with folks. Everything we do when we're dealing with kids is what's in the best interest of the child, and we like to see people getting along and us all working together for that goal. And so, we have a therapy dog also at the court, our therapy dog program. Marley, you may hear about in the community. She's available if you ever have a kid court involved that we can provide to give comfort to anyone who might be just even waiting in the hallroom of our courthouse. So, yeah, we tend to make things as easy as possible. That's what we like. Our website has a link to different forms people can peruse before coming to the courthouse, print off at home, read through, make sure you understand, what your options are. If family situations change, or if you run into a problem and you need to file for, some custody paperwork, or if a grandparent's involved and they might need to be able to make some decisions, get a kid in school, we have forms for that, grandparent power of attorneys and grandparent caretaker affidavits, things like that. There's different forms and options for people, and you can learn more about that online at our juvenile court's website, or the Supreme Court of Ohio has a good list of those options as well.
And when you think of court, everybody always kind of gets that ooh to it. But like you said, you guys are there to help. Sometimes when it's cases like with custody and things like that, these are some of the hardest times to go through. It's great to hear that you have the dog. I've seen Marley mm-hmm. walking in sometimes in the mornings. And so it's, like you said, the end goal is to help the juvenile get on the best path possible.
That's right. And their family, we always encourage parents, everyone work together, get along. That's going to make your life a lot more peaceful too. Once we have children, we have a lot of responsibility to them for a very long period of time. So if you can find ways to work together, and we have resources for that as well. The Catholic Charities programming we have available in the community can come in your home and help you work through some things in your home together, in your living environment, see how maybe your kid might be handling some things, when you give them direction at home, and help you all work through that. So that's an option we've been able to provide as well. I'm thinking even technology. There's this program called Our Family Wizard. It's an app that can go on a phone and help parents who may not live together communicate better with one another, get those appointments on an app that you can both see, or send messages to one another. I think it even has a tone meter that when you're typing a message to a parent, maybe your tone doesn't sound great. So and it might alert you to that and say, hey, maybe change this. And
put an LOL at the end.
Yeah. Add that smiley face and it makes it all better, right? So yeah, there's a lot of things we're trying to work together positively with families.
Now, with all the different types of cases that you see, is there a typical thing that a process they can expect when they come into the juvenile court? Do they all kind of flow the same, or are they all very different in how you handle them?
I think typically most cases I'll start with somebody filed something. So we make sure everyone gets paperwork for that. You might get a summons to come to court for an initial hearing. And when you come to our courthouse for an initial hearing, you'll sign in, provide your information. Our bailiff, Mr. Khan, he's so amazing. He's great with getting people acclimated when they come in, and give them that basic information they need to know what's the purpose, why I'm here, and what's going to be expected of me. So you may wait and come in the courtroom, sit in the courtroom, and we'll talk about your case, put the information on the record, and see how the case should progress. So I think it's a process that people get more comfortable with. I understand when people come to court first time, it's pretty jarring. You're pretty pretty scared sometimes, or especially I see them high emotion in those kids who are there for traffic court sometime. They are scared sometimes. And
that can be used in your favor.
Yes.
Yeah. Learn from
yes.
this.
And you know, you appreciate that they're taking it seriously. Again, we emphasize people make mistakes and there's accidents happen, and we'll get through this together and we'll get it behind us. So yeah, I think it's a friendly but serious process. And you know, sometimes we have problems we have to deal with at court, and we hope to avoid those as much as possible. But we have the right people there who will address matters appropriately.
And we've got one more segment here for Focus Fridays. We'll talk about some of the groups you're involved in and things that you do to kind of supplement along with what you do as a magistrate. That is Julie Dreyer, the Juvenile Court and Probate Court Magistrate for Holmes County. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. And back one last time here with Holmes County Probate and Juvenile Magistrate Julie Dreyer. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM. And as you're going through being the magistrate here in Holmes County, you can always welcome more information. And you had mentioned prior about being part of the Ohio Magistrates Association. And so how does that, being a member of that, help you in what you're doing?
Yeah, the Ohio Magistrates Association has been a great resource asset. It's an organization for Ohio specifically, of course, as indicated in the name. But any magistrate in Ohio can be a member of the organization. And then the organization holds a lot of different conferences and provides different education, networking, etc. So as a member, I recently attended the Ohio Magistrates Association Fall Conference that was held in Columbus. So all magistrates from all over Ohio came to this conference. I would say there was at least 500 magistrates in attendance. And I think there are over 800 or 900 magistrates in Ohio right now. The number fluctuates some, but there's a lot of magistrates. So there's a lot of education provided on what are new developments in the law. For instance, one of the topics I attended the presentation for was school attendance updates or issues. And recently, there's been some changes in Ohio law that it will be effective at the end of this month, where how schools address school attendance matters are changing a little as what's required by the law. Schools are required to do some more earlier intervention now with students before they're considered truant. So there's education on that topic. Someone from the Ohio Department of Education presented on that and other courts, how they're handling attendance issues. So you learn a lot of different tidbits of information at these conferences that you can put in play in your own court and practice. A lot of good examples from other courts, maybe an area that you don't see often. You'll get more education on that. And best practices, and you like to incorporate those, you know, back at the courthouse when you come home from the conference. So it's been a great resource.
And you can never go wrong with networking with fellow people. It's not about what you know, it's about who you know.
Right. I agree. I've met a lot of different magistrates from different counties through that organization. There's a magistrate in Fairfield County who's an expert in, you know, in delinquency cases. And so if there's something our court hasn't seen before, we may just run it by, you know, their court. You know, what do you do when you see this type of case, or what's your understanding of this issue? So other magistrates have been really helpful. And there's another magistrate in Holmes County, the Domestic Relations Court, and I saw her at the conference, and it's great to be able to share information and work together as a team in the county.
And you mentioned at the conference there's education. As a magistrate, you do need to do some continuing ed as kind of a requirement, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Any attorney in Ohio has what we call CLE requirements, continuing legal education requirements. And if you're a judge or magistrate, you have a higher requirement for your continuing education, which of course makes a lot of sense. You really need to be an expert in your area and learn as much as you can. So every 2 years, I have to report to the Supreme Court of Ohio regarding my education, and they keep track of it online for you, but you certify that that's correct, and I've done those hours. So I believe it's 24 hours every 2 years. So you go to conferences in person, you may watch a Zoom conference or even a recording. Materials are provided in forms, and it's really helpful.
And the law is consistently changing too. So if you're not keeping up with things, you could miss something in a case that's important.
That's absolutely correct. You know, even another organization I'm a member of is the Ohio State Bar Association. And every day that organization sends out an update about the decisions that Court of Appeals or the Supreme Court of Ohio have issued. And something new every day. You have to read those and be on top of things and understand, you know, what changes have happened, or how has a court interpreted, you know, how has a higher court interpreted this issue, and put that into your practice.
And it's an ever learning, ever changing process. And did you ever see yourself becoming a magistrate when you went into law school, or was this something that you kind of grew into as you went along in practicing law?
Sure. I think that it was on my radar, but I don't know that I particularly, you know, you have to get some experience under your belt first. So I think that my career just sort of have led me to where I was today, or I am today. But I was a fan of the show Judging Amy. I remember that. I don't know, you know, this is, you may be too young to know that show, but, and even a little Judge Judy, but that's a little extreme. So I know that I've always been interested in the law and, you know, helping make good decisions. And so it was a natural transition for me.
And would you ever consider moving into that judge position?
Oh, wow. You know, there's big footsteps to follow here in Holmes County. We're so lucky to have great judges. Judge Lee, whom I've worked for, he's been with the court for 20 plus years. So, you know, of course, I think anyone would be honored to follow in his footsteps. And I worked under Judge Warner at the prosecutor's office. And he's excellent. Everyone, I think, has always been impressed with his abilities. So, and I know Judge Hyde as well. And though I think we're all very, very lucky to have the judges we do here in Holmes County.
And you all work together, and so you get to know those folks. So is there any last thoughts on the position of magistrate, or anything that you want to let folks know before we wrap up here?
Sure. You know, I think it's an important position, and I've been blessed to be able to be a part of the community and help folks out here. And I don't think I can emphasize enough that we just want to do right by the people and make good decisions for families and the community. And that's always our goal. And we, you know, we just hope everyone shares those goals with us, and we can all work together well to meet those goals.
And don't be afraid to reach out if you have questions.
Yes, that's correct.
To the courts. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time to help us really learn. I know a lot of folks don't know what a magistrate did, and now we're very enlightened.
Yes. Well, it was great to share. You know, I know for some people this might sound like a foreign language, but any help we can give on explaining, I'm happy to do that. So
thank you so much.
Thanks.
That was Magistrate Julie Dreyer, and I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. Focus Fridays has been brought to you by Hobrins Insurance, Holmes Siding, Rohde's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. Don't miss an episode of Focus Fridays here on WKLM. Each and every Friday in the 9 a.m. hour after hometown news and the Eye on Weather forecast. If you happen to miss an edition of Focus Fridays, you can always go to the website WKLMFM.com and click on the Focus Friday icon. In the next edition of Focus Fridays, we focus in on Holmes County Clerk Susan Shy. It's all here on your hometown radio 95.3 WKLM.